Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Right there, that makes my day. And thank you for being with me. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting on the Wilder Network out of the city of Chicago, to Chicago, Illinois. It's a beautiful day. It's still light outside, but it will not be for long, because winter, summer is long gone. Winter is right behind us, and fall sometimes in this town feels like winter. But it's beautiful. It's great to be alive. It's great to be, you know, able to talk about some of the things that I'm talking about. As you know, this program is called The Talk of Our Times, and it is The Talk of Our Times. And it's great. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's Chicago. I think it's around 57 or 56 degrees. It is kind of cool. I think it's very, very cool. Wow. For this time of the year, I mean, it feels like winter instead of fall. But, you know, the weather's been wacky all year. If not for the last 5 or 6 years, it's been wacky in Chicago. You just about couldn't tell one season from the next. You just dealt with it. You know, you dealt with it. You complained, and then you winded up just dealing with it, dealing with the whole thing. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. Now, the topic of today's show is CPS, Chicago Public Schools, laying off so many workers, teachers. This city, you know, I'm based out of Chicago. Actually, I live in Chicago. I'm in my studio. We're near the lake, Lake Michigan. That's why I'm so passionate about what's going on in this town. And I hope it's okay where you are. But I know in this town, you know, we have, I mean, Illinois, okay, I've just got the news that Illinois is on its way to becoming totally broke, penniless. Even with court orders, they won't be able to pay their bills. And and these guys aren't doing anything about it, you know. So, and CPS, the Chicago Public Schools, they're going to be laying off between 4,000 and 5,000 teachers. And they're threatening a teacher strike. And also on top of that, one of the CPS leaders, the head of the schools, she is being indicted. She's admitting to wrongdoing, you know, stealing taxpayer money and having it funneled to some other previous employers. And it's just, and I can go on and on and on with the crap that is going on in town and in other places also. But I guess I have to focus on Chicago, because this is my home for now. Anyway, it's bad. It's really, really bad. And it's not just the crime, it's the politics of it all. It's the politics of it all. Now the Cubs have advanced. I just heard it. I was hearing in the background. The Cubs have advanced in the playoffs. They're now in ahead for the pennant. And right now the Cubs and the Cardinals are playing. And I just heard that the Cubs are a run down. But that's nothing. That's nothing. I mean, the Cubs have been 5 or 6 runs down and came back to win the game. So anyway, that's – but however, in that first playoff game, they won it. I mean, 4-0, but now they're down with the Cardinals 1-0. So do not fret, fans. I mean, I think the Cubs are going to go all the way. These guys got some hitters. They have some really, really powerful hitters on this team, and the team is young. They're bright. They're talented. They're smart. I think they're going to go all the way. I really do. I think they're going. When I say all the way, I think they're going to the Super Bowl. You heard it right here on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I think the Cubs, the Chicago Cubs, are on their way to the Super Bowl. Not the Super Bowl. What the hell am I talking about? I mean, I'm thinking about the Bears. Okay. Now we know the Bears is never going to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, what I'm talking about with the Cubs, the World Series. I can say it again. The World Series, not the Super Bowl. I probably gotten hit in the head somewhere on that. But anyway, getting back to the looming layoffs. The layoffs are not looming. They're starting as I speak. And I have noticed by my 16-year-old son, I have gone up to his school many times. I have been an advocate for him. And he's a special child. So, you know, so. But he's a wonderful kid. He just buffoonish sometimes and forgetful, and he doesn't focus, and he doesn't think, but he's a great child. And I'm finding that he goes to a charter school, but basically a charter school is the same as a public school, a little different, but a charter school also gets public funds. So that's what makes it a public school, but it's a little different. But this particular school that my son goes to, they act as if they are a private school instead of a Catholic a private school. You know, they act like they're a private school instead of a public school. And he's been going there for 2 years. He's a sophomore. So in the 2 years, I have seen a lot of changes in that school, a bunch of changes. I mean, when he was a freshman, I met all his teachers. I had to meet all his teachers, talk to them, get to know them, you know, be a part of the school, be a part of his curriculum and all that kind of stuff. The first year I met, they were nice. They was well-informed. They seemed qualified. They seemed like they know what they were doing. I'm talking about the teachers. Now, in a stark contrast to that, he's now a sophomore, and I have also met his sophomore teachers, and they look less qualified. They look as if they aren't much older than he is. They probably a chapter ahead of whatever they're trying to teach him. They don't look professional. They don't act professional. They don't look professional. I think what has happened here, the most qualified people, who probably are the people who ask for the most money, they have been let go for the least qualified and less qualified teachers. So I don't give any credence to what they're teaching my son or what they're trying to teach my son. I don't give any of that credence, because basically I teach my son myself. I homeschool him. Actually, I homeschool him, but I still send him out to the charter school just to get him to be around those of his own age and not be around dad all the time, you know. I need a break, so I send him out to school every day. And he's a great student. He gets the best grades. As long as I stay on him, he will get the best grades there is. And there's already colleges out trying to, get him to attend their schools. And that's great, because he's been to college fairs and everything. And that's great, but I know the difference between a qualified teacher and an unqualified teacher. I know the difference between a teacher who doesn't know as much as my son knows, but maybe just a little bit, just so to get that job. They're trying to save money. The public schools, the schools everywhere, even private schools, even parochial schools, Catholic schools, all over, they're trying to save money. And if they get cheap-ass teachers who don't know much past what the students that they're trying to teach, they're going to go after it. You know, so CPS layoffs, I mean, these layoffs, they're laying off good teachers, and they're going to hire just a few unqualified teachers, hoping that we parents, us dumbass parents, don't notice it. Some parents will not notice it. You know, a lot of parents, you could, because a lot of the schools have a lot of students that belong to illegal immigrants. And basically, illegal immigrants, they're not going to complain about anything because they don't want to, they don't want the immigration people coming after them. So they're not going to complain too much about anything, especially about the school. They're glad as hell that their child is in school because they probably couldn't get that in Mexico. But those of us who are Americans and know about these schools will complain, but there's nothing we can do. I mean, we can, only thing we can do is just bitch about it, yell about it, talk about it, rail about it. But these guys going to do what they're going to do regardless. You know, they're going to, regardless. Just like I said, this Barbara Bird Bennett, who was once the head of the CPS, Chicago Public Schools, she's now indicted. She's going to jail. But she's copping a plea, so she may get no jail time, or she'll get a lot less jail time for just copping a plea or just pleading guilty or just admitting to what she's done. You know, she's going to probably get a lesser time in jail or no jail time. So that means that there will be no trial for her, you know, because she's pleading guilty. But the problem is there will be a lot of layoffs. They're coming. And I hear that the teachers in this town are going to strike. Every week I hear a teacher, a school somewhere in Illinois striking. We have in the suburbs, there's always a school district striking, you know. There's one striking right now. There was one striking a few weeks ago. And there's going to be one striking once this strike is over, whenever it's over. But the Chicago Public Schools in the city of Chicago, they are going to strike also. They are going to strike because they haven't got a contract. They're working without a contract. CPS is saying they don't have the money. CPS is saying that some of these teachers who will remain teachers, I guess, will have to pay more towards their own pension, and they don't like that. They're asking to take a pay cut. They don't like that. They are going to strike. And thank goodness my son is not a part of the schools that will be striking. Because when these people strike, they strike in the thousands. You know, not a few, not 50 or 60 or 100 or 200. This is in the thousands. They get downtown and they start blocking the streets, walking in the middle of the street. It's a wonder some of them don't get ran over, blocking the streets, you know, ruining traffic, you know, just out there. Ticket signs. We want more money. We want more money. And I try to tell people that when teachers are out here striking because they want more money, teachers are out here striking because they want this or that, or they're making demands in the classroom, and they're striking for like weeks and weeks and weeks. I try to tell people that basically these teachers think more about themselves than they do the students that they're teaching. A lot of, well, my teacher's out here and she's striking. They need more money. She needs more money to put gas in her car, and she needs more money so she can send her children to a private school. The teachers that go on strike, they would not go on strike if they really cared about teaching, if they really cared about your children, my children, being in the classroom. They wouldn't care, but they do. It's all about the almighty dollar with these teachers, not the students in the classroom. You hear so many teachers say when they're out on strike, we got to get back into the classroom because it's the students. We love our students. We got to get back to our classroom. They don't love the students. What they love is more money in their pocket. The teachers in this town make more money than they've made in the last 10 years. They make a lot of money. They got cars. They got they have cars, station wagons. I don't know if people do station wagons anymore, but they got SUVs. They got homes. you know, they, some of them probably have their own businesses or something, private business or something that they're working out of their house or apartment. Teachers make good money in this town. And for them to always having to go out on strike for whatever reason is ridiculous, putting the child's education in limbo. I don't believe in strikes, but they happen. They happen. I mean, Illinois is a big town, and there's always, and we have a lot of suburban communities in this town. And like I just mentioned, some suburbs somewhere in the state of Illinois, some school district is striking. Is striking because of what? Pay. They want more money. Bottom line, they want to be treated better. And they make more money than anything. And this is one of the reasons why CPS is going to be laying off a lot of teachers, because they know they're going to save a lot of money, by doing this. And whether the union likes it or not, you know, I mean, union, they can only do so much. But even though there's a union, all of those teachers, they work for the Chicago public school system. They don't work for the unions. The unions are just there to extract money from their check every pay period, and to try to say that, hey, we got your back. We can keep you from getting fired and stuff like that, and on and on and on. And on. So it's going to be really, really trying in the coming month or so, because these people are going to strike. There's no doubt about it. But however, like I said, my son will be in school because he goes to a charter school. And charter schools in this town, there is no collective bargaining. I mean, there is no union whatsoever. You know, I mean, teachers at a charter school, they can get fired in a whim, you know, and there is no union to back them up to try to save their job. So, and my son goes to a charter school. So while the teachers in these traditional public schools are on strike, he will be in school because his school is not part of any union. And that's a good thing. That for me, that's a good thing because, you know, I mean, like I said before, I think he needs all the learning he can get. But he's no angel. My son is no angel. I mean, he'll pretend like it. He's no angel. He's a great kid. He's a great child. I just gotta stay on him about a few things. And sometimes I'm a little bit more forceful than I should be, but I think he's trying to get the message. You know, I mean, he's a teenager. Well, what can I say? A teenager, I mean, if you don't get a control on them or get a real hold on them, they're going to get a real, really hold on you. I guess what I'm saying, if you don't teach your child certain aspects to let them know that you are serious about what you say. And I have no problem telling my son, no, you can't have it. No, you can't go. No, you can't do it. I have no problem saying those kind of things to him, because I only say those things, kind of things to him, if I feel that he really doesn't deserve to do those things or to have that. It could be because of bad grades or something. It could be because he's late for his classes every day, which he's not. But I don't say those things unless there's a good reason behind it. If my son show me good grades, hey, I'm rewarding him. I'm loving him. You know, I'm proud of him. But he comes through that door and he loses he loses his shoes, he loses his gym uniform, you know, he loses his glasses, he done lost his glasses, then I might have to say, hey man, you can't play no video games anymore. There'll be no more video games for you. I have to really set the standard for this guy, or either he will set the standard for me, you know. And he's a teenager. He's going to be 17 years old. So I have to say, hey, you know, I got to get a rein on, or he's going to rein on me. Okay. And I would like to say I'm divorced. Okay. If anybody wants to know, where's his mother? Where's his mother, George? I'm divorced. And I do have a lady friend. And but I'm divorced, you know, so but I do have sole custody of my son, Denver. Yeah, and I love him to death. He's been on the show once or twice. He's done a good job. And if you know anything about the show, if you're around when the show actually starts up, you will hear him introducing me to the show. He does a great job, but that introduction, I really had to get it out of him. He didn't know how to say it or how to do it. I wrote it, but I had to really get him to say it from the gut, you know. Denver, you know, if you heard the introduction, and I didn't play it today, but I will play it before I'm off the radio today. But basically, getting back to what I'm saying, if I ever left it, there are going to be a lot of CTA layoffs. I mean, CTA, Chicago Public Schools. I'm really screwing up today. Chicago Public Schools layoff teachers, administrators, janitors, supervisors, security. I mean, it's going to be really something. And I don't think there should be a layoff in security because, I mean, we just had two more shootings today. We had one in Arizona, and there was one in Texas. Two more college campus shooters besides the one that was in Oregon. I mean, this is crazy. I'm going to talk about this. This is crazy. Two more college campus shooting besides the one that happened a week or so ago in Oregon. These people are copycatting. Some guy brought in Texas or Arizona, I'm hearing that some guy brought a gun, and they were outside in the parking lot of the school, and tension arose, and some guy pulled a gun and started shooting. What the hell was he doing with a gun in the first place? And the Republicans, we need gun control, but the Republicans don't want that. The Republicans are arguing that everybody should carry a gun. If you carry a gun, you're safe. I don't buy that argument. I never will buy that argument. I never will buy that argument that gun violence, because of gun violence, you should have more guns out on the street. A lot of people are saying that. And they're wrong. They're wrong. They're thinking backwards. You know, I mean, President Obama arrived in Oregon today, and he got a raw reception. People say they didn't want him because they thought he was coming to get their guns. They got to be some dumbass people, because Obama said 1,000 times, if not 1,000,000 times, he wasn't after their guns. He was just after trying to keep the guns out of the hands of the people who are insane. People just can't get that. We've been talking about gun control since Robert F. Kennedy. He was saying the same thing back in 68, 67, 68. Guns, 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 guns. Everybody's against universal background checks. That's a damn shame. That's nothing wrong with waiting a certain period to get a gun so you can be checked out to make sure that you're not crazy or insane, that you are supposed to have one. What is so wrong with that? That's why is so many people against that? I don't know. It makes so much sense for you to, if you're going to buy a gun, for you to have a background check of some sort. I don't know. You know, it's just crazy. This is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. We're talking about CPS layoffs looming, and state lawmakers will not act. No, they won't act. These guys are not going to act. You can forget it. You can forget it, because it ain't going to happen. Here's Bernie Sanders on gun control. All right.
I come from a state which has virtually no gun control. Mm-hmm. And yet I voted to ban certain types of assault weapons. I voted to close the gun show loophole. And I voted for instant background checks. And what I said is that as a nation, we can continue screaming at each other, mm-hmm. or else we've got to find common ground.
Well, what
and
is that? What is
well,
that?
What
because
common ground
it.
Is,
what
for
is
a start, universal instant background checks. Mm-hmm. Nobody should have a gun who has a criminal background, who's involved in domestic abuse situations. People should not have guns who are going to hurt other people, who are unstable. And second of all, I believe that we need to make sure that certain types of guns used to kill people exclusively, not for hunting, mm-hmm. they should not be sold in the United States of America. And we have a huge loophole now with gun shows that should be eliminated. There may be other things that we have to do. But coming from a rural state, I think I can communicate with mm-hmm. folks coming from urban states where guns mean different things than they do in Vermont where it's used for hunting. That's where we've got to go. We don't have to argue with each other right. and yell at each other. We need a common sense solution.
All right, there's Bernie Sanders, a common sense solution. A common, but you know what? So many Republicans in Congress saying that Bernie is way off track here. I don't think he is. I don't think he is. You know, I don't think he is. Like I said before, I am a gun owner. But I'm advocating background checks for people who are going to purchase guns. I mean, you got these gun shows. I mean, that's going around town. I mean, going around the United States, selling guns without background checks. You just walk in there with your checkbook, and you buy a gun. You're out the door, you know, without any background checks, without any kind of regulation, anything. You just buy a gun, boom, you know. And who knows where that gun might wind up, you know, because most people with guns, if they're not hunting or something, going out hunting, that's okay, that's fine. But I don't think assault weapons should be in the hands of gangbangers. I mean, I don't think anybody needs an assault weapon. You know, maybe a handgun, but not an assault weapon. I mean, assault weapon means you're going to go out and mow down a lot of people. You know, start spraying bullets all over everywhere. You know, so I don't agree with that. So, all right. CPS. Okay, here is I just got through talking about CPS layoffs, Chicago Public Schools, which is going to be hurt. It's going to hurt the kids. The kids are the ones who get hurt in this. When the teachers go out on strike, it's the children that gets hurt. But the teachers, they want more money. They want to pad their pockets. That's all it is. The teachers, they want to pad their pockets. They do not give a damn about the classroom. They do not give a damn about the kids that they're teaching. If they lie, they lie and say they care about the kids. They don't care. If they was caring, they wouldn't be out there striking. They're already getting – they're just trying to be greedy. They want more and more and more. Okay, so this is a clip.
Chicago Public Schools on Monday began notifying nearly 1,500 teachers and support staff who are being fired amid a previously announced $200 million budget cut in a shift in student enrollment. The announcement came as CPS released its $5.7 billion 2016 budget, which includes a historic $1.1 billion budget deficit driven by rapidly rising pension payments. The layoff notices will affect 479 teachers and 1,012 other staff members, out of more than 41,500 employees, according to the school system. CPS officials said 99% of the teacher cuts are due to shifting student enrollment. It expects to have about 1,450 teaching vacancies to fill before the school year and impacted teachers can apply for those openings, officials added. The spending plan also includes about $500 million in pension savings that have yet to be enacted by the Illinois legislature. School officials said that if lawmakers do not reach a resolution on pensions, CPS will close the funding gap with additional cuts or more borrowing. Last month, the Chicago Board of Education approved the sale of up to $1.16 billion of bonds for the cash-strapped system. Speaking to reporters, CPS Chief Executive Officer Forrest Claypool pointed to higher test scores and graduation rates in the city's school system, which serves 400,000 students. Yet all that hard-earned progress is threatened by a budget crisis that can be solved if our leaders come together, he said on Monday. Fitch Ratings downgraded its view of Chicago Board of Education general obligation bonds on July 27 by one notch to BB and from BBB, reflecting the lack of progress over the school budget gap. CPS has asked Chicago teachers to take what amounts to a 7% pay cut by paying a greater share of their retirement contribution. Chicago Teachers Union President Karen Lewis has called the proposal strike-worthy. Chicago teachers went on strike in 2012 for the first strike in 25 years. Editing by Susan Heavey.
All right. Okay, but since that clip, it had gone up to 5,000 to 7,000 layoffs. Okay, it had gone up to 5,000 to 7,000 layoffs in the city of Chicago. Rahm Emanuel and Forrest Claypool, these two guys have been trying to get the state to bail them out. Rauner said months ago that he wasn't going to give them nothing, and he's not going to give them nothing. So we are going to get a teacher strike. I mean, like I said, teacher strikes are all over Illinois in every suburb, and we have a bunch of them. And they're all over the place. So Chicago will be the biggest. And these people are going to stay out for a long time. Right now, as I speak, there's a suburban school district on strike right now. And they've been out for maybe about a week, 5 days. And the students are out there, you know, supporting their teachers, not knowing that their teachers are not supporting them. Because if the teachers were supporting them, they would not be out there striking. Parents are supporting the teachers, but the parents want the kids back in school. So why are you supporting teachers who are not giving your kid an education? I don't understand that, you know, but it happens. All right, this is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, Wilder Network. You can look me up on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google. I'm all over the place. Check me out on Amazon.com. I have a lot of books up there, a lot of material that's pretty good, I have to say. So I'm going to take a break right here, and I will be right back. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for all the kind things you said about me and the show. Thank you for all the rotten things you said about me and the show. I will be right back. Thank you very much. Hello. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. All right. We're back. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you so much. Donald Trump, he's saying that if he sees himself, you know, faltering in the race, if he sees himself falling behind, his poll numbers drop, he's going to drop out of the presidential race for 2016. I'm just telling you what he said. He's going to drop out, but I don't think this man is going to drop out. You know, he's still leading. He's still leading. He's still number one. He's uno uno. And somehow he's not as controversial as he has been in the past. He's gone soft. I don't know. I think that's why his poll numbers are slightly decreasing, because Donald Trump is not being Donald Trump. You know, he should be Donald Trump. Donald Trump should be Donald Trump, because if he's Donald Trump, his poll numbers would probably go through the roof, because being Donald Trump means he's going to be ridiculous. He's being ridiculous, obnoxious, rude, you know. That's being Donald Trump, a bully. All right. That's being Donald Trump. And that's how he gotten where he is, especially in the polling. So Mr. Trump insisted that he was in the race to win. But if he feels that he's not winning, he's going to exit, you know. So I'm never getting out. That's what he says. Well, he's saying that people are misrepresenting his remarks. But how can you misrepresent what somebody say when the words directly is coming out of their mouths? You know, I mean, how can you take something out of context that someone says that's goofy and then people get on their asses about it and says, well, you took me out. It was taken out of context. Oh, I didn't mean to say it that way. Yes, you did. You meant to say it the way you said it. It's just that you got caught. You know, a lot of people, you got a lot of backlash for it. Now you're trying to walk it back to say that we took what you said out of context. How can we do that when the words came out of your mouth verbatim? We didn't put those words in your mouth. We didn't change them around. We reported and said the things that came out of your mouth. And now that now you're saying that we misinterpreted or took it out of context, or we're trying to twist the words. They're not trying to twist anything. It came out of your damn mouth. But you know what? A lot of them get away with that. They get away with it. So Donald Trump is saying that he's saying that he's going to get out of the race if his poll numbers are low. And then he turns around and say he's not going to get out of the race. So he's saying that most people took his statements out of context. Nobody took his statement out of context. You know, what he said came out of his mouth and it was reported, and people was asking him, what did he mean by it? Oh, I'm not going to get out of the race. But you just said you're going to get out of the race if your poll numbers drop. If nobody likes you, you're going to get out of the race. You know, so, you know, politicians, I mean, he's becoming a regular politician, you know, just like a politician. They say one thing and then they kind of accuse you of twisting their words when, you know, what they said is what they said, you know. And Ben Carson, the presidential candidate, the African-American, he's a Republican. I'm pretty sure you know about him. And he is ridiculous. The man has a hole in his head. This man is no more qualified to be president of the United States than Donald Trump. This guy is so ridiculous. The stuff that comes out of his mouth, I don't see why the media is always raring to get this guy on television, raring to stick a mic up in his face when he's going to say something so dumb. So even women are coming to his aid. Ben Carson is, I have to say, he's not a bad-looking guy. He's not a bad-looking. Maybe that's why women are coming to his side. I don't know. But the guy clearly has a hole in his head. And I hate saying that because he's African-American, but what can I say? He's Republican. He's a Republican. And he said something about the Nazis and the Holocaust. He said something about the something stupid about the school shootings in Oregon. And if it had been him, I think he said something like he would have shot back or somehow defended himself or something like that. But how can you say that? You don't know the situation at that point. You don't know what you could have done at that point. I mean, let's say if you were armed, but the guy had a gun to your head. How are you going to draw your gun without him pulling a bullet in your head first? You don't know. He didn't know the situation. He just talks. The guy just talks off the cuff. He says anything. He looks like if he was in that type of situation, he'd run and hide. He'd be shaking like oatmeal or something. He seems like a coward to me, actually. But he's saying anything to try to throw his constituency, his supporters, a bone. You know, Ben Carson looks like a straight up coward to me. Looks like he'd run from his own shadow. he's not relevant to me. I mean, he I wouldn't vote for him. He's a, I think of all the 17 or 18 or whatever, how many candidates there are on the Republican side running for president, I think he's the worst. I think they're all bad, okay? But he is the worst because he says some of the most ridiculous things. And the press, you know, every time something ignorant comes out of his mouth, the press, I mean, they're lining up to get an interview with this guy, to put him on television, stick a mic on him, get some video on him, so we can see him say dumb things. Because they can't believe themselves. Well, we got to get this on tape. We got to. This guy said something. And it's stupid. He's stupid. He said something about Hitler. It's stupid. It has nothing to do with policy. He says nothing about issues, economy, jobs, Black Lives Matter. Nothing. Infrastructure. Said nothing about making America better in terms of social programs. In terms of bettering people's lives, nothing like that. The Republicans do not talk about issues. They do not talk about things like that. The economy, jobs, gun control. Killings, murders, what are they going to do about it? How are they going to solve that? Talk about nothing whatsoever policy-driven. It's always, you know, listen to me. It's always something stupid or dumb or crazy coming out of their mouths. The other day, Jeb Bush said, pertaining to gun control, the killings, the shootings in Oregon, he said, well, hey, stuff happened. Now, how dumb is that? He just lost he was going to lose anyway, but he just cemented his role in not being president of the United States by that simple remark. Stuff happened. That simple remark. Stuff happens. And basically, that is what the entire Republican Party thinks. Well, they got killed, they're dead, and they got shot, you know, stuff happens. All right, let's move on. Basically, that's what they think, you know, and I just can't see. I just can't see these guys, any of these Republican candidates, becoming president of the United States. I can see Bernie Sanders. I can even see Hillary Clinton. But I cannot see, because Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, they talk with sense, okay? They talk with experience and knowledge, and they talk about issues. They talk about policy. They talk about making America better. They talk about people. They talk about kitchen table issues, especially Bernie Sanders. But these other clowns, these Republican buffoons, the bozos, as some call them, they don't go nowhere near an issue pertaining to the United States that's going to better the lives of the United States itself and the United States, the citizens of this great country. They don't talk about that. They don't. If they do, then they're pandering for votes, because the Republicans are not about people. They are about the rich, because they themselves are rich. If Ben Carson is not rich, if Ben Carson is not rich, he will be. He will be. If he doesn't win the presidential nomination in 2016, he's still going to be sitting pretty for money, because he's going to be all on Fox News. They're going to pay him. They're going to give him a job. He's going to be writing books. He's going to sell a lot of books. He's going to be going around to colleges and universities speaking, charging whatever he wants, you know. So he's going to be sitting pretty whether he gets this or not, and he probably will not, because the guy makes some of the dumbest statements that not just me, but people around the United States who are following this, he makes some of the dumbest. He says some of the dumbest things, but he's not the only one. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. The George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. We're going to be right back. Let me see what we got here. Okay, Jehovah's Witnesses. Let's see, we'll do that probably next time. All right, we're going to take a break. I'll be right back. Stay with me, everybody.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Here he is. Wonderful. All righty, we're back. We are back. And what was I going to talk about? Let's see. What was that here? The Republicans are trying to get Paul Ryan to run for Speaker of the House. It seems like nobody wants to be Speaker of the House. We may not have a Speaker of the House. I'm talking about in Congress. You know, we may not have a Speaker of the House. Nobody. The Republicans, basically, in this instance, they're in disarray. They are in disarray. And it's showing. They're just not there. They're not there. Okay, America the bloody. I mean, I've seen America, the United States of violence. These are titles because of all the crime. Okay, America, one shot at Texas, and there's another one, I think, that was shot. Let me see if I can find it. Texas and Arizona, okay? This was happening today while the president was mourning and visiting people in Arizona. And these campus shootings, these college shootings, these school shootings, they're just accelerating. They're not decreasing because the copycat shooters are going to shoot. I mean, anytime you're afraid to go to a school, to sit down and learn and to be creative and to find out who you are, it's a shame. It's like a church, or something. You know, you go to church, you praise God, you praise to pray and all that kind of thing. You don't go to these places to be shot dead, these sacred places, these institutions. You don't. It's just not supposed to happen, but it does happen. And, you know, at school shootings and church shootings, are going to continue. These unorthodox shootings are going to continue. You have to brace yourself for that. It could happen anywhere, anytime, to anybody. It's going to happen. It's going to keep on happening. We have to do something about guns. If there's nothing done about guns, when I say guns, I've said this 1,000 times, keeping the guns out of the wrong hands, the wrong hands. And sometimes, like I said in a few other shows, gun violence is not always caused by somebody insane. It's not always caused by somebody who is mentally ill. Sometimes gun violence is caused by good, level-headed thinking people who just snap. People snap. I can snap. Anybody can snap. I've seen it some days when my son snaps. And I said, wow, boy, I'm surprised. You know, so, but this has, that has nothing to do with guns, but does. I'm just trying to make a point. You know, so, the, and the point is we need universal background checks on guns. We have to keep guns out of the wrong hands. And people, and those who know people with mental illness, know people with a short fuse, know people who can get angry and mad and upset and they own a gun, they should, you should tell someone. There's a lot of people who don't speak up about things that they should speak up about that could save lives. You know, you have to, I mean, you have to tell, you know, I mean, you don't want to be a snitch or, but think of it this way. You may be saving this person or other people. You may be saving their lives if you speak up, if you see something out of the ordinary, if somebody grab a gun and just down into their pants or their purse or whatever and goes out, you know they're not going out to, you know, to fish or going out to catch fish. You know they're going out to shoot somebody. And you probably should say something. You know, there's so many people in the United States who own guns and they carry them freely. In Arizona, is it Arizona? I think in Arizona or in Oregon or both, it's open carry. They have an open and carry law. That means they can carry a gun right out in front of you. They can have assault weapons hanging all on their backs. Nobody's going to say or do anything or walk up to them. And these people are proud. Well, let me say to those people, I think some of those people are just law-abiding citizens. They're not going to gun anybody down. They're not crazy. They're not mentally ill because they're carrying a gun. They're not mentally challenged because they have an AK-47 on their backs. Because they're not going to go to a school and shoot it up. We're trying to keep the guns out of the hands of the wrong people. And don't tell me about putting more guns out there on the street. If you're going to say that, don't call into this show. Please don't do that. I'm not about that. The show is not about that. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's pitch black out there now. And but it's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful, it's a great day. It's fall. What can you say? What can you say? I think it's about 45 degrees. Every time I see these titles, America the Bloody, the United States of Violence, you know, all these kind of things, it bothers you. I mean, at least it does me, because I don't know. I don't know. It's just crazy. All right, let's move right along. Okay, Chicago schools in deep trouble. Of course they are. Schools around America are in deep trouble. And most Republicans, they don't care nothing about education. They think education is a farce anyway. And but it's not a farce. Education is not a farce. And do not let people try to put that on you. It's not a farce. The more you know, the further you can go, the smarter you are, the more talent you are, you can't miss. You're going to be successful if you put some drive into it. You know, you got to put some drive into it. You got to let people know where you are, who you are. And I've said this many times. If you want something, go get it. If you want something, it's because it's not going to come to you. You want something. You want something out of life. Get up off that couch. Cut that video game off. Cut that television off. Put that beer down and go out there and find what you want, especially if you're young. You know, if you're young, you got plenty of time if you're young. And got to be a go-getter in this world. That's what I try to tell my son. Denver, you got to be a go-getter. Yeah, he go-gets all right. He go-gets some food. That's about what he go-gets. But like I said before, he's a great kid. I kid and joke about him, but he's a wonderful kid. He's a great kid. He has his problems, and I have to deal with him. And it's a bit much, but we're doing it. We're doing it. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, what we got here? And maybe a drum roll, maybe. Let's see if we can do a drum roll. Oh, wow, that was great. Wasn't that great? Okay. As you know, I'm going solo today, and I've been going solo for a few days now, but I am booking guests as I speak, you know? So a lot of times I don't have guests on the show because a lot of times I don't really have time to book them because there are so many other things that keeps me busy. But once I get unbusy, I will start booking guests on this show, and I will let you know when a guest appears on the show. So I've been booking guests. I have some booked already. Some are already in place. So just hang in there with me while I'm going solo for these few days, because a lot of times I have to go solo because, you know, I have to get the show done. Then once I'm done going solo, I'll book the guests. But I have guest books for next week. So that should be a lot of fun. If they don't drop out and quit on me or cancel, they should be here. And that should be great. That should be wonderful. All right. We're talking about Chicago. We're talking about the state of Illinois. We are in our fourth month. And I keep saying this on every show. We are in our fourth month of a state shut down or a state without a budget, and nobody is moving. Nobody is budging. I'm hearing and reading that the state will go broke. This state will go broke soon. Maybe around January, February, but we'll go soon, broke soon without a budget. Unfathom. We got a governor, Bruce Rauner, and a legislature. These guys are refusing to pay their bills. They will not pay their bills. The bills that are getting paid are getting paid with court orders. The judge. And even when the state goes broke, court orders will not matter anymore because there won't be any money to fulfill a court order. And these guys are just steadfast in not working together, in not coming together, in not compromising, in not voting to get a budget passed before the state sinks. And I'm talking for real. Before this state sinks down into the damn ground. And these guys and girls, they don't care. They really just do not give a damn about Illinois. Because if they did, they would, especially Rauner. Bruce Rauner is one of the worst governors ever. This guy, all he wants to do is bust unions. Like I said in the yesterday show, he wants to bust unions. Why? Because they're too powerful. They're too powerful, and they can keep his ass and his buddies out of office. Unions are powerful. He wants a right to work state. That means you don't have to join a union if you don't want to join a union. But a right to work means what? It means you can get your ass laid off anytime the employer feels like they want to lay you off. It means that your wages can be lowered. So most people do not want a right to work state. And you have over 60,000 state workers in the state of Illinois, if not more, And they are all in unions. And Rauner is trying to bust them, bring them down. One of the things Rauner is doing, he's trying to make things more difficult. And he is. He's making things more difficult for you to try to apply for. And if you have a job and you in a union, he's going to try and make it easier for you to be fired. That's his goal. But Rauner has to understand something. This is not Wisconsin. He is not Scott Walker. He cannot come in this state, boom-goggle this state. He's governor. He has never held office before in his life until he became governor. Nothing. He had businesses, nursing homes. They failed. What? They failed. His businesses failed, and now he's the head of Illinois, and it's failing. So what does that tell you? He's incompetent. And somehow some people out here voted his incompetent ass in office. I didn't vote for him. I voted against him. I had a sense to do that. A lot of people did not. So, you know, so you get what you vote for. But a lot of people who did not vote for Rauner is suffering under him because of those nuts who did vote for him. And in some cases, the people who voted for him are suffering under him, too. He's taking away their pensions. He's blowing their jobs off. He's busting their unions. So they are also disappointed in Rauner, even though they voted for him. And now some of them want their vote back, but it's too late. You can't take it back. This guy is going to either walk out of office in handcuffs, or he's going to be a one-term governor, and he stated that that's all he wanted to be. But since he said he wanted to make Illinois a Republican state in 8 years, that tells me he's looking at another term as governor, and that is not going to happen in this state. If he tries to run again in 2 or 3 years or 4 years, that asshole ain't going to get but one vote probably, and that vote would probably be of his mother, maybe. I don't know. He's one and done in this town. He is one and done. He tries to act passionate. He's not compassionate. If he was compassionate, this state would not be going down the toilet as fast as it's traveling. And my understanding, I don't see why John Cullerton and Michael Madigan will not stop this guy, put some brakes on this guy. They're just letting this guy have his way. They're going their way, he's going their way, and the people, we the people, are right in between this fight or no fight. And we're the ones suffering. Madigan is rich, Cullerton is rich, Rauner is rich, and the people in between are middle class. They're working for a living. They're struggling. And these assholes, well, I got mine. You ain't got yours, too bad. If you're dependent on the government, too bad. If you're dependent on the state, too bad. No, it's not too bad. It's too bad for you guys because you're not paying your bills. You're not paying your bills, and you're running the state into the damn ground because you're not paying the bills. Every state has bills. The Congress has bills. They have to pay their bills. You don't pay your bills, your credit rating goes down. And down and down. And that's what has happened with Chicago and the state of Illinois. The credit rating is in a gutter. They want to borrow money. It's going to cost them more to borrow money because the credit stinks. You think you got bad credit or I have bad credit? The state has bad credit. Chicago has bad credit because these assholes will not pay their bills. You and I have bills. We have to pay them or we're out. They have to pay them. Or the city and the state is out. They will not pay their damn bills. Rauner is holding people hostage. Everybody who depends on a social program, everybody who depends on food stamps or disabled or school funding, he's holding these people hostage. He's saying to the legislature, if you want these social programs to continue, give me what I want. If you don't give me what I want, these people are going to starve to death. And the legislature is saying, we're not going to give you what you want. This is a Democratic town. We're not going to go against our Democratic principles for you. So nothing gets done. But it's up to Rona. I mean, if you think about it, if I think about it, there have been all kind of budgets placed on Rona's desk that they've crafted in the legislature in Illinois. And he just ignored it. He said he was going to veto it, or he just let it lapse. There's been all kind of budgets. And he's doing all kind of crap with his executive powers. You know, laying off people or firing people and replacing them with Republicans. He's trying to make this a Republican state like he said he would. But I don't think it's going to – I just don't think it's going to write, because I think even some of his Republican colleagues are saying, Rona, stop the BS and get a budget for Illinois. This has never happened. He has ruined – he has screwed up his businesses, personal businesses, and now he's running – ran for Illinois and governor. Now he's screwing up Illinois. The guy has no business sense. This is a Democratic town. He can't come in here and try to turn it around all by himself. When you got Culloden and Madigan, collectively, they got 70 years in the state legislature in Illinois. He hasn't even got one yet. He was just voted in last November. And he's going to come into office and try to run roughshod over these veterans. He's crazy. So therefore, he knows he's crazy, and he knows he's not going to get it. So that's why he's holding this state hostage. Nobody likes him. Nobody likes him. Believe me, nobody. That's why he's always smiling and grinning to try to shed some of that whatever he's got. Nobody likes him. His poll numbers are in the gutter. But still, he doesn't care. He doesn't give a damn about his poll numbers. He doesn't care. All he knows is he's the governor of Illinois. He's King Rauner. This is Raunersville, you know. He wants it the way he wants it. It's what he says. And it always amazes me that you never hear from Bruce Rauner for 2 or 3 months. Suddenly he comes out of his cocoon. Like I said yesterday, he comes out of his cocoon. He goes somewhere where there's a microphone. I don't know where, because I don't care. But he goes somewhere where there's a microphone. He says, he talks for 10 or 15 minutes, you know, and then he's gone. He gets back in his SUV, and whoever his flunkies are, they, you know, and he's gone. Then the next 2 or 3 months, he comes out to a microphone, says something, blah, 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 he's gone. The next 3 months, he comes out, blah, 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 he's gone. He might put a statement out in the paper or something, or he might go, you know, whatever, however he gets his information out. But One thing for sure, he does not talk to the people. He does not take questions. He's the first governor that I knew who did not talk straight at the people, to the people. Rona doesn't talk to the people. He talks at, and that's one of the reasons why the people doesn't like him. He talks at the people instead of talking with them or being a part of the conversation. And you don't do that. Not in this town. He talks at them. This is what I say. This is what I want. This is how it should be done. Bye. That's Rauner. No questions, no reasons. It's my way or the highway. That's Rauner. And that's why they are not, that's one of the reasons why they are not compromising or trying to talk or get a budget. Rauner is the governor. He has the right to call a special session of the assembly, General Assembly, and get this done. He won't do it. Michael Madigan can call a special session. Culloden can call a special session and get things done. But whatever they get done, Rauner has to sign off on it, and Rauner's refused every time. Every time I hear about the legislature crafting a budget to get the state out of a hole, Rauner vetoes it because there's nothing in there saying that he could bust unions. But they keep telling him, that they're talking about the budget. He want to talk about unions, put that in something else, and don't put that with the budget. But he wants it with the budget. It's simple. It's simple. You want something, then you give me something back. That's what it is. It's tit for tat with these guys, with Rauner. You want me to sign that? You want that? You want people to eat? You want people to be able to get their jobs back? Well, then let me bust unions. I will give you your social programs back if you let me bust unions. I will let you raise taxes if you let me bust unions. It's all about unions. This guy is stuck on unions. And every time he comes out of his cocoon, he says the same old thing. There's nothing different. This is why I know the state is going down a hole. They're not gonna do anything. It's not gonna happen. There is no movement. And if there is no movement, then it's on the legislature itself. Rauner can do things with his executive authority. The legislature should be able to override. They should be working. They should be working the legislature, the General Assembly, to vote to override Rauner and just put out a budget and stop the state from. But I'm pretty sure it's easier said than done, and I'm saying it very easily. But a lot of people have said the same thing. Why can't they just override these guys? Then they'll say, well, we don't have the votes. Well, then work the chamber and get the vote. The chambers and keep working the chambers until you get the votes to override and get Illinois out of a ditch. Because we are in a ditch. It's like we're driving in a car and we have a flat tire and roll off in the ditch. That's the way Illinois is right now. If we don't get out of that ditch, we're going to go over the mountaintop. We're going to fall down over. We're going to roll off the mountain if we don't get out of that ditch. And it's up to the legislature to get us out of that ditch. And you know what? Like I said, there is no movement. There is nothing. No one is saying anything. No one is talking. So, hey, we're going to go over that ditch. We're going to go over that mountainside. We're going to roll right over down into the ocean, you know, the state of Illinois, because no one's talking, and it seemed like nobody cares. No one cares. We're worse off than California when Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor. He really took that state under. It took a Democrat, Jerry Brown, pick that state up out of the ditch that Arnold Schwarzenegger put it in. And it's going to take a Democrat in the state of Illinois to get Illinois out of a ditch that Bruce Rauner, the Republican, put it in. Or an independent. It doesn't matter. We are in a ditch. And far as I can see, they're letting us remain in this ditch. We need a not a Republican, but we need a Democrat to take us out of this ditch. Rauner, we're never going to get out of this ditch with Rauner. He's going to keep us there. Just like I just said, just like Arnold Schwarzenegger put California in a ditch, it took Jerry Brown to get California out of that ditch. It's going to take a Democrat to get us out of this ditch in Illinois. It will not be Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner is going to get us further down into the damn ditch until we fall off the mountainside. All right, this is George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is 7:14 straight up Chicago time. All righty.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
Hi, I'm Chef Dr. Timothy Moore. Now, a lot of people have asked me, who are you?
Right. Let me just say this. While we become outraged with all the violence in Chicago, we've got to connect the dots. It is no coincidence that homicides are up and shootings are up. This weekend, 2 killed, 45 shot this weekend. And all this is going on while the governor has cut all summer employment jobs, and while the governor has ended all anti-violence jobs in this state. It's no coincidence when you're on the street and you're abandoned by the government why violence is up in this city and why violence is up in this state. The governor is a co-conspirator of what's going on right now in the streets of Chicago. We got to make him understand that Illinois is not another business investment of his. Illinois is a state where there's people whose lives are at risk. Don't treat this like some business investment, Bruce. Treat this like there's people who elected you. This is our money. This is tax money. We have a say so in what happens with this.
How dare this man close the doors on our children? What's the difference in what he's doing now than Bull Connor did back in the day? We're not going to take it, ladies and gentlemen. The governor wants to balance the budget off of poor people, off of handicapped people, off of the mentally ill. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to balance the budget off our baby. But guess what? Have you ever heard him talking about telling his corporate people to take a pay cut?
No.
Have you ever heard him talk about reducing some of those corporate loopholes?
No.
Have you ever heard him talking about, okay, we have been in the crisis here in Illinois. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's really the economy. And everybody has not been paying their fair share. There's some boys on LaSalle Street that make billions and billions of dollars. And I'm like the governor, quite frankly. I don't want to raise taxes, but I want everybody to pay their fair share. And they are making some transactions that they're not paying taxes on. So the only thing I'm saying to the governor, make sure that everybody's in, including my baby, and nobody's left out, including your friends. So with that being said, Mr. Governor, let us go back to Springfield. You want a budget? Let's talk about a budget. Let us gather the money from the guys on LaSalle Street and let's have a financial transaction tax. And then when we get finished doing that, Mr. Governor, let's develop our own bank like North Dakota. And if that's not enough, Mr. Governor, let's get rid of the insurance industry and have a single payer health care so everybody can truly be in and nobody be left out.
Don't mess with my children. You know something? We don't have to put up with a bully. A bully cannot win when people stand together. A bully cannot win when you're standing with your brothers and your sisters. A bully can't win when you build coalitions in the neighborhood. A bully only wins when you let them. Right now we have a coalition of individuals because we understand what Governor Rauner does not understand, and that is everything is connected. We are connected to one another. Child care is connected to a good education. Education is connected to health care, because you're not going to learn if you're sick. You're not going to learn if you're hungry. That's connected to a good job. That's connected to this state. This is not about one person who doesn't want to turn us around. He wants to turn us backwards. We are not going backwards. This is not we're going to be standing up here in the street, dancing, working for free. This is our state. This is not Ronnerville. This is not Brook City. This is the city and the state of the people of Illinois that deserve the best that it has to offer. We are not going to be held hostage. We're not going to be held against our will. Our children are not going to be the cannon fodder to fight your fight. This is something that needs to be addressed. We want the governor as your voice and as your ears down in Springfield. We want the governor to come to the table not talking about things that doesn't need. We don't need to be talking about remapping.
Right.
A budget has nothing to do with remapping.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a term limit. It's called come out and vote.
Get
the vote. That we need to be talking about, how do we fund those essential things that make us competitive, not only in the United States, but in the global economy. This is not about being a vulture capitalist. Who do you know, where do you know that a CEO tears down his own business just so he can make more money? Vulture capitalists. That's what they do. This is not a vulture capitalist situation. This is a budget about people, the budget about numbers, or that in his mind, a budget about numbers. There's a face on every dollar that's in the budget. And we want those dollars spent on the things that we need to be the citizens that we can be. And that is making sure that we have not only daycare, but many of you also know we need people working night care. Because this is a 24-hour city, it's a 24-hour fight, and we're going to stay in it for 24 hours as long as it takes. So let's stay together, let's stay connected, and we beat the bully.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we got to beat the bully. We got to take him on. Best way to beat a bully is to stand up to him. Don't run, don't back down, or if you do, they're going to come after you.
When we cry and smile.
right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm pretty sure for some of you are going to be listening to it, you're going to be podcasting it. I'm also on iTunes. I always forget to say iTunes. I'm on iTunes also. And I know some of you are going to be podcasting it and downloading it and archiving it, and that's great. That's wonderful. Like I said, earlier in the show, I will be having some guests on next week. I've done a lot of booking, so tune in for that. I always love talking to writers. I always love talking to authors because every author and writer is different from the other. From another, they're going to have different questions, sensible questions on the same. They're going to have different answers. I'm going to be the questioner. Different answers on, you know, for different questions because authors and writers are different. And that should be interesting. So stay tuned for that. Stick with me for that. And I will be back tomorrow. It's been great. It's been wonderful. It's been beautiful. I enjoyed the show. You can almost tell when I enjoy doing a show. I mean, I really do enjoy doing it. And whether I'm flying solo, which I'm flying solo right now, but whether I have a guest or do not have a guest, it's still the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's still interesting. I bring up some great topics, some great things to talk about. 347-857-1762 is my number. Sock that number away. You can call me tomorrow, probably. Hopefully, maybe. But if, like I said before, if you want to sit back and listen, this is Friday night. Nobody has time to probably listen to me on the radio. But that's why I say archive it. Archive. This is Friday night. You're out with your friends. You're out partying. You're with your family. You're watching something stupid on television. You don't have time to listen to something that's going to teach you something. But however, once you get tired of watching the stupid stuff, doing the stupid things, and you're not a stupid person, I didn't mean that, archive this show. You know, I mean, it doesn't last that long, an hour and a half maybe. I want to take it to 2 hours. But, you know, so we'll see how that goes in the near future. I got about a minute or less so in the show. Soon, somebody's going to be in my ear saying, 90 seconds. I was right on time. The person said 90. Actually, it's a woman saying 90 seconds in the show. So tune in to me for that after you get through all the wonderful things that you're going to be doing, that you're doing on Friday night. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. I know by the time that you archive this show, it will not be Happy Friday, the day that you archive it or the day that you listen to it. But anyway, oh, someone had just said 60 seconds. But anyway, happy Friday. I mean, and have a good time. And be with me tomorrow. I will be here at the same time, same station, internet station, right? So far, I haven't had any problems with the internet. You know, I mean, I haven't any problem. My internet, however, I can say this before the show ends. My internet provider, they're going out of business. Yeah, I mean, I've been having these guys for about 4 or 5 years, 5, 6 years maybe, and they're going out of business. They told me that the next month will be the last month, so I have to look around for another internet provider. I don't know what the business, I mean, people get into business, they go out of business, you know, companies go under, I guess that's what's happening. But anyway, check me out tomorrow, and thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you for being there. I've got to go. If we can, all right. Boy, I've got to go. All right. I'm just out of here or some shit, I don't know.